We are looking this morning at the parable of the sower. We spent 2 weeks introducing the idea of these parables. And now we're going to get into them and begin to study them. And I can't tell you today how far we're going to get. My hope is to get all the way through the parable of the sower. That's my intent. But we may not get that far. If you'll go with me to Mark chapter 4, I want you to see something that's included here in Mark's account of the parables in a particular position that it's not in Matthew's account. After the Lord delivers to them the interpretation of the parable of the sower, he follows it with this in the 21st verse. And he said unto them, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed?" My first thought is, that'd be a dangerous place to put a candle. You know, a good way to start a fire. And not be put on a candlestick. Now, verse 22. "There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad." Now, I don't think that it's all that difficult to grasp the significance of what the Lord is saying here. It is as if we could somehow darken this room this morning, absolutely dark, and I had placed some special pictures on the wall that you couldn't see. And I came in here with a flashlight. And I took that flashlight and I showed you these pictures so that your attention was just completely on those pictures and not distracted by anything else. And then we turn all the lights on and I say to you, "Now, I brought this flashlight for a purpose. Not to conceal those pictures, but to reveal those pictures." And you say, "Well, of course, Pastor, that's what light's all about." Well, it's the same thing about this candlestick. The Lord didn't have a flashlight. Candlesticks were used as that kind of light at that particular time. Now, that's given to us at the end of this parable, so the natural assumption is that this parable is revealing something to us that it is his intention that we know about. And he said it in this terms, nothing's going to be hidden. All things are going to be open. Now, you understand that this is given to us in the context of these parables in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And the point is that Christ is saying, "I am exposing to you the basic dynamics of the kingdom." I have a snowblower at home. Just a few things you need to know about it. A little switch down there that turns it on to a slow speed and then to high speed. So you turn it on, you bring it up one click, it's slow speed, next click, high speed. Next thing it's got, it's got one of those bulb things, you know, that you prime it with. And then it's got a pull cord to start it. Well, I went out there the other day. I'm grateful. I haven't had to use it much this year. Isn't that nice, Ray? We haven't had to use our snowblowers very much. And I hit that little push bulb, and I gave it three pumps. That's what it takes. Three pumps, starts the first pull. Gave it three pumps, and I pulled it. It didn't start. Now, I'm not real fast about these kind of machines. I don't understand them real quick, you know. So I started yanking on it, you know, and it wouldn't start. And I realized I hadn't turned it on. Few simple things you have to know. Well, I turned it on, pulled it once, and it started. Good fortune was I hadn't flooded it. But it started out with this dumb contrary machine and ended up with, "You dunce." Now, We're going to get that some when we talk about these parables. Because there are some times when we start to think that this whole kingdom of heaven thing is, I don't understand it. But when we begin to understand the principles of it, then we can begin to work harmoniously in union with it. And that has to be the reason he taught it. Because we live and move in the kingdom of heaven. And we have just really, basically, three, or actually four, simple observations to make this morning from the parable of the sower that I think will help us as we serve Christ in this world today. Don't miss that. We serve Christ in this world today. Let's pray. Our Father, as we open your word together this morning, we pray that by your Spirit and through your word, you would instruct us, Father, in these just very simple truths that we can comprehend and we can understand about the kingdom of heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me then back to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And we'll get into this. Can I give you one more illustration about the importance of knowing things like this? About a week ago, my wife said to me, three or four months ago, we bought a new computer for home use. And our son-in-law, Eric, got it all set up for us. I can't do that kind of stuff. You know, he got it all put together and everything working on it, you know, and got the spyware or whatever, you know, in it, antivirus stuff and all that. Anyway, the other night, Charlotte said, the computer won't shut off. And my first reaction is go, I don't understand these things. I can't fix them. Where's Eric when you need him? I'll call Pastor Weber. And I thought, well, we are in a computer world. I've got a computer at my desk here in the office. I've got a computer at home. I don't know something about it. I'm gonna see if I can fix it. I spent over two or three days, I spent 4 or 5 hours wrestling with that computer. Okay, let me say it. Wrestling with that dumb computer. To find out that all those 4 or 5 hours were just silly, wasted time. Charlotte had left an SD card in a port that did not permit the computer to shut off. Pull that SD card out, everything was just fine. If I'd known what I was doing, I wouldn't have had all that frustration and wouldn't have had all that wasted time. That's simple. You understand that there'll be a lot more harmony, a lot more unity, and a lot more peace among us if we just understand what's going on in the kingdom of heaven and what the dynamics are. All right, we're going to call these fundamentals. Chapter 3, verse 19. Well, let's start at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. First fundamental of the kingdom of heaven is the seed. Folks, we have got to grow in our appreciation for the incomparable word of God. Everything that is accomplished in God's business today is accomplished through the Word of God. Not to take away from that the participation of the Holy Spirit and even our participation in sowing the seed, but the dynamic that accomplishes the work of God today is the Word of God. It has been said this way. It is the Word of God that does the work of God in the children of God. And we have got to understand that. It all rises or falls on this book. Now, it is not so isolated as to be solely gospel. You notice in this 19th verse, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, he said, the sower soweth the word. The sole force and originating dynamic of truth and authentic Christianity is the Word of God. There's a little chorus we teach our children. I have a wonderful treasure. The Word of God without measure. And it speaks of treasuring that Word of God in the lives of our children. The Word of God is incredible. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In 1 Corinthians 1, 21, Paul says, God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. This word is the powerful seed. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick. And by quick, we're not talking about fast. We're talking about living. The word of God is living. I want you to understand that. That it is not some idle thing like good poetry or good literature. The Word of God is like a living virus that moves into the minds and hearts of people and inhabits them and changes them. And it is our responsibility and opportunity as the people of God to use that wonderful living virus to spread it across this planet and allow it to do its own energizing work. I doubt that we have the kind of appreciation for the Word of God that we ought to have and realize how powerful it is and what it does in the hearts and lives of people. Now, there's a parable included in the fourth chapter of Mark that's not included in Matthew chapter 13 where the Lord addresses this. Turn back to Mark there with me, please, and look at verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. That's the way it is with the Word of God. It's sowed. And night and day, we go to bed, get up in the morning, we sow some more seed. We sow it on our children. We sow it on our nephews and our nieces. We sow it on our neighbors. And after a period of time, it begins to manifest itself in their lives. We don't know how. It's not been by our careful and subtle or not so subtle arguments with them and pleadings. That word, as it sits upon those minds and souls, has a life of its own that changes them if they will listen. And that's why again and again the Lord says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. I think we need to leave this mystery alone and just honor it by faithful sowing. I remember as a child planting a garden and then watering it and then watching for it to grow. And sometimes we just get a little anxious to see what was going on. And so we go out there in those rows that were marked and we start picking, you know. I want to see what's going on, that kind of thing. And I don't know about you, but we ought to be fascinated by what a seed does. Christ said, unless a seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It's a fascinating thing that God has made, seeds. And the Word of God is that way. And we aren't going to understand the mystery of it. We best just sow it and let it grow. Just sow it and let it grow. If any one thing is everything, this is it. You know, we're tempted, you know, to reduce things to one simple common denominator. It's all about this, or it's all about this, or it's all about this. If any one thing is anything, it's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11, a portion of Scripture that you are familiar with. I can't quote it, so I'm going to have to turn to it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. The Word of God does its work in a convincing, convicting, powerful way. And so in that first section, we have the seed that's cast. And some of it falls on the wayside. And Christ said that those who don't pay attention to this and don't understand it, the enemy comes and takes it away. Folks, there are just so many today that we wonder, why don't they listen to the gospel? Why aren't their lives changed by the gospel? We understand as the Word of God came powerfully upon us and we were convicted of our sin and the fear of God grew in our lives and our lives were just changed by that understanding and perception of His Word. Whereas there's just so many thousands who just care not for the Word of God. He is teaching us that that's the case. That's the way it will be. Let me give you this particular picture, if I may. This parable is telling us that in this kingdom of God business, you've got at the core a hot group. A group who love the Lord, who serve Him faithfully, and are just wonderful saints of God. And then outside that group, you've got a group who the things of this world crowd into their lives. And their lives are distorted and altered by afflictions and persecutions. And then you've got a group outside of that who just plain love the world. And that's what we're going to find as we look out broadly across Christianity. And this parable is revealing that to us. So the first is that the Word is a dynamic and there's some who just won't listen. Oh, I was going to tell you about Colonel Musey. I just got done reading a story about the Second World War and the men who were involved in the Bataan Death March. Now, those are common terms to you. I'd never read about this before, never knew a lot about the history of it. And in December 1941, same time that Pearl Harbor was attacked, Manila was attacked by the Japanese. We had an occupational force there, a lot of soldiers. And we lost that attack on the port of Manila. And our men got pushed into kind of an isthmus that's to the west of Manila called Bataan. And the Japanese just filtered down through Bataan, destroying our troops till our troops finally surrendered. And if I'm right, that's the only surrender that America's ever made on the battlefield. There were thousands and thousands of men involved in that that were marched up to a prison camp about 75 miles away. Over half of them died on that march. They were treated cruelly by the Japanese. And I guess in some measure, to be faithful to the story, the emperor, it appears, told his soldiers to treat the American prisoners with kindness. But his soldiers didn't do that. They would pull their swords off and just chop the heads of the men off and leave them to writhe on the road in their own blood. There was a man's body on that road about every 15 feet for 75 miles as they marched up to those prison camps. They were in prison for about 2.5 years when MacArthur came back. You remember MacArthur left, he said, I will be back. And in January of 1943, the Americans were reoccupying the Philippines. They were getting to the place, to the prison camp, where most of these prisoners were kept. At that particular time, they estimated about 1,300 prisoners in that prison camp. They knew about how the Japanese had treated them, and they were afraid that if they just continued to advance towards that camp, that the Japanese would annihilate all these prisoners. And so MacArthur sent Colonel Moosey and Lieutenant Prince to rescue those prisoners out of that prison camp. Cabatuan was the name of the prison camp. And so they went 35 miles behind enemy lines with 120 Army Rangers. They were joined on the first day by a Philippine guerrilla by the name of Hosan, who had about 80 men with him. And on the second day, they arrived within about 2 miles of the prison camp. Now, they're back in a little village, you know. They're all hiding. This is all secret, you know. And they're preparing their plans for taking the prison camp and rescuing these prisoners. And it determined that on this night, January 29th, at dusk, they would go in to release the prisoners. And they were joined by another Philippine guerrilla by the name of Pahota. Pahota said, "Don't go tonight. Tonight the Japanese are moving a troop of 8,000 men, tanks, and armored carriers down the road right past the prison camp." And the Japanese were retreating, and they moved at night so that they could avoid our Air Force. And Colonel Moosey said, "We're going tonight. That's the plan." Pahota said, "It's suicide." But Moosey was an American soldier. What does Pahota know? He's just a Philippine guerrilla. The good news is that Moosey also had a troop of scouts, Alamo scouts, out checking the place out that afternoon. They came back with the same report that Pahota had. If Moosey hadn't listened, he would have taken all of those Philippine guerrillas and that group of rangers on a suicide mission. And as I read that story, I'm thinking, Moosey, listen to these guys. Now, I don't know, Mark, what it takes for an Army commander to listen to somebody like that, but I would think it would be a pretty big step for him. I'm asking you this morning, have you listened to God or are you on a suicide mission? That's the first thing about the parable. Those who just dismiss the truth, who won't listen. And the seed falls on the wayside and the enemy comes and takes it. The good news is the beholder was right. They put the mission off one more day and they went in and they rescued all those prisoners with three casualties. Fascinating story. It's in the book Ghost Soldiers. And if you can stomach reality, it is an interesting read. Well, I told you we might not get too far today. The first fundamental of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is the Word of God. And if you won't listen to it, you'll be on a suicide mission. It's that plain and simple. I think I can handle the rest real quick. Verse 20 and 21. And he that received the seed in the stony place is the same as he that beareth, that heareth the word of God, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises, behold, or because of the word, by and by he is offended. Remember, we're talking about in this kingdom of heaven, we are going to come upon a little core of people that are just solid, loving the Lord. And then as we go out beyond the perimeter, we're going to find less and less of that and more dysfunctional lives and dysfunctional Christianity. At the perimeter, we have those who don't listen to the word at all. At the core, we have those who faithfully hear it and bear fruit. The next perimeter out is related to those to a seed that falls in stony ground. Now, it has nothing to do with stones here, other than the fact that seeds that go into stony ground don't do well. Understand that the stony ground is affliction and persecution. There are a lot of believers who quickly respond to the Word of God and make a confession of salvation to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And pretty soon, we just don't see them anymore. We wonder, what happened to these people? They can't accept the normal afflictions and persecutions of being a Christian. Christ warned his disciples that there would be many afflictions and persecutions that would follow his people. And he said, I say these things unto you so that then when they come, you will not be offended. That means you won't fall away. I think about the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. He said, quit ye like men, be strong. And I say to you this morning, we as God's people need to man up. It's going to be tough. Christ warned us it's going to be tough. And the only ones that are going to continue and the only ones that are going to bear fruit are those who are willing to man up and accept the hardships of being God's people. It's that plain and simple. And then the next group is given to us. Oh man, I'm really going over a lot of stuff here. Verse 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choketh the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This is the plant that's choked out due to unmitigated competition. Thorns and thistles isn't the issue here. It's the illustration. What's the issue? The issue is very simple. Those who are overcome by wrong values, priorities, and choices. The cares of this world, The deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The world and vanity is no friend to the Christian life. In this particular section, we become like the world rather than countercultural. Again, we've got these cores. We've got the good solid core right in the middle. Then you've got those on the next perimeter who can't take the basic trials and affliction that come with Christianity. And then you've got those out here who, rather than being totally committed to Jesus Christ, allow their lives to be consumed by the things of this world. And that's why we have scriptures like this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There was a time for me in my life in 1967 when my life was nearly consumed and destroyed by the simple pursuit of the things of this world. I was 19 years old and I wanted a good car and a good job and I didn't care about anything else. And I was going down a rabbit hole to a ruined, dysfunctional Christian life at best. Because my objective was the things of the world. Values, priorities, and choices. It is important for us to understand that Christ has saved us that we might bear fruit. That's the purpose. Not that we can somehow capture the things of this life. I want to ask you, to what degree are the fruits and blessings of Christianity being stifled by your interest in the things of this world and your commitment to them rather than the things of Christ? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What we know about this core group is a people who are dedicated solely and completely to Christ. The next group, overly troubled by the common afflictions that face the Christian. The next group, just all wrapped up in the things of this world, so they bear no fruit. That center group is the last one that Christ talks about. Verse 23, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The point of our parable is incredibly simple. The Word of God has come by the power of God to change our lives so that we would bear fruit in this world. That's our purpose. Christ said in the Gospel of John chapter 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." It's the only reason to be a Christian. To be salt and light. That's why we're here. That's the purpose of our lives. I was interested this last week reading about the maniac of Gadara. Here was a man who was absolutely overcome by the world. Demon-possessed. Life racked and ruined. In order to try to protect him from himself, they shackled him with chains, and he would break loose. This man must have had scars and bruises all over his body from the ways his friends tried to help him. He ran around naked, and he met Christ. And in the next moment, he was clothed and in his right mind. Fascinating story. But when Christ went to leave that area, the old guy came and said, "Can I go with you?" And the Lord said, "No, you can't. I want you to go back to your city and to your friends and show them how great things I have done for you." Folks, God hasn't saved us to make our lives sweet and wonderful. He has saved us to go and show a world how great things He hath done for us. Imagine what it's like when that mania walked into town and they see him. Bill, is that you? Yeah. What happened? I met Jesus and he changed my life. That simple. So what's the conclusion? Listen up. Man up. Give God first place and bear fruit. That's what the kingdom of heaven is about. That's simple. Listen up, man up, give God first place, and bear fruit. That's our calling. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that it would bring forth fruit. I pray that we'd be faithful who have ears to hear, to listen, and respond to you in our hearts about your word. As you bring conviction, as you bring understanding, that we would live in the light of that. I pray, Father, we'll not be deterred by the normal afflictions and persecutions of this world. We'll quit our whimpering and whining and just follow you in faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that our lives will not be consumed by the foolish vanities of this world, seeking the things of this world that are utterly and hopelessly useless. Father, we would rather seek you and the glories of all that you are, that that might be displayed in our lives. That we might be that wonderful core of people who love you and serve you and whose lives reflect you in truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the work that gets done this day that's eternal, that's lasting, is done by the Word of God as we bear the fruit of God in our lives. It's just that plain and simple. Don't be sidetracked by the afflictions and the persecutions. Don't be sidetracked by the things of this world. Let's give our full devotion to Him.